Good evening and welcome to our village board meeting. It's Monday, July 11th, a little after 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Carchi. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Aducey.
Here. If I can all ask you to please stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Nothing? Nope. Okay, very good. So it's item number four, which is the elected official comments and announcements. I will ask Ms. Trustee Gibbs if he would like to start. Please.
Well, I'll praise your map later. I'll put that off till now. That's it. I know, that's so uncharacteristic of me. I usually do it after the fact, but now you bring it up.
Yeah, well, it's next week, actually.
Don't want to miss
we're definitely not going to meet next week. Right.
So we'll let you start again.
Yeah. Okay. And so I will start with Trustee Gibbs.
Flag Day in June, Flag Day, too.
Flag Day, the 14th, yes.
There you go.
Flag Day, the 14th.
I'm just helping you out.
And thanks for everybody helping me out with my personal comments. I'm glad that you guys know me well enough that that's the stuff that I would talk about, Flag Day and Father's Day. So either way, I hope those days are wonderful for everyone that's here. Thank
okay,
you.
Very good. Thank you. Penny?
Well, unless anybody has some for me, I have no comments.
Yeah. Nope.
Well, just to prove I read the packet, I want to congratulate the fire department guys who received the commendations from the Loyola Services. Yeah. And that was really awesome. Congratulations, Chief, on your son graduating. And for the police department, congratulations to Sergeant Greenwood for graduating and also receiving the Kremel Leadership Award. So, way to go.
She did read the packet. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. Thank you, Trustee Conti.
I just wanted to say Happy Father's Day also to all of the dads out there. And also just a friendly reminder that the schools have let out, and so there are children running around all over the place unexpectedly. So if you could just keep your eyes open when you're in your car, and because they're more unpredictable in the summer.
Very good. Nice advice. Thank you.
Okay, just a quick thank you to the village. Patty and I completed our graduation and leadership lab. So it was a quick, I guess, 10 months, more or less? 10 months. So we're glad that we completed it. And of course, thank you for your support.
It went quickly. Did you have a lot of homework in the 10 months?
Yes, we did. That's what made it go so quickly.
All right. Well, congratulations to both of you. And Susan kind of took my comments as well. So same congratulations to all of our staff for their achievements. Chief, for your son's college graduation. Susan, your daughter's college graduation. Kathy, your daughter's college graduation. So all the college graduates are actually going to go out into the world and be something big and great and wonderful. So that's awesome. And happy Father's Day to everyone. And I just wanted to just mention that I missed the TripCom two exercises that happened in the last couple of weeks, my first time missing it, which I usually enjoy going to those, but I just want to give a shout out to all of the folks that participate in that, our public safety personnel, on down to all of our staff that really have done a phenomenal job over the last several years of preparedness for any type of emergency that would come our way, God forbid, but I mean, just for our citizens to know that we do those things to help protect the residents and the communities around us, and we work together collaboratively. So it's always a great effort, and it's a great great thing to see people coming together to protect our village. That's it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. I don't have much. I'll just echo what all of my colleagues have said. Yes, happy Father's Day. Happy graduation. Congratulations to our fine public safety individuals. The only thing that I attended only was the graduation of Patty and Russ in the leadership lab, and I was handing out diplomas. Thankfully, they didn't give me a robe or anything to do that. So I was very, very proud of you both. I think that the presentations were very well put together. They gave a presentation on yours was Aging in Place, and yours was RIDE, if I remember correctly. It was Austin Resource. So it was well put together. You know, they identified the problem, and then they recommended a solution, which is never the case. So congratulations to both of you. I was very proud to be there and represent you all. Also, I'll give a shout-out to a community event that happens every Friday called Flamingo Friday. It's open to all River Forest residents. In fact, it's open to everybody. It happens every Friday. Just go up on the website, River Forest, FlamingoFridayRiverForest.com, and you'll find out who has the next one. But it's a ton of fun, and it's for all of us to get to know each other better. So that's all I have. So we'll go ahead and move on to the rest of the board agenda, which is the consent agenda. If I can have a trustee please move and second the consent agenda A through H.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda in its entirety.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions on that? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
May I read it into the record?
Yeah, please? You should do that first, actually. I don't like you to do that.
A regular Village Board meeting minutes, May 29th, 2018. B, executive session meeting minutes, May 29th, 2018. C, right-of-way license encroachment waiver and license agreement for an irrigation system located at 918 Franklin. D, right-of-way license encroachment waiver and license agreement for an irrigation system located at 937 Jackson. E, establish the prevailing rate of wages for laborers, mechanics, and other workers employed in performing construction public works projects for the village ordinance. F, monthly department reports. G, monthly performance measurement report. H, village administrator's report.
Thank you. Hello. Mm-hmm. Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So no items for number six. We're on to seven, which is the recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. We have the Historic Preservation Commission. This is the update on our historic homes brochure and ongoing educational initiatives. I don't think there's any. Nope. No action here, so it's just an update by Chairman Franick or John Pape or both. Okay. Welcome, Chairman.
Thank you. It's good to be here. As someone who shares a birthday with the Stars and Stripes, I'd like to voice my appreciation for your recognition of Flag Day. Although, unlike our banner, I will not be 241 years old.
Yes.
The idea is to provide an update on some of our educational efforts, a little bit of background. In June of 2013, the Historic Preservation Commission adopted the results of a survey done by two architectural firms, in this case, Balthrum Oak Park, following a request for proposal that was national to determine those homes and other buildings in our village which meet the Secretary of the Interior's 8 criteria from 1965 for significance. They're kind of reviewed as the gold standard. Since then, we've lost 3 properties. And as a commission, we've been discussing and looking at various ways of preserving the remaining structures. One of the common factors in the 3 properties that have been lost is that HPC has been initially involved only after a purchase contract was signed. And rather than play defense, we would like to do something which is proactive and get ahead of the curve. Thank you, by the way, to the village. Commissioner Popowitz and I attended the Traditional Building Conference in April at the 19th Century Club, and that provided an opportunity to discuss this issue with a number of preservation officials regionally and nationally. And one of the thoughts is to increase the visibility. In response to a comment from David Burns, longtime village resident, the village president and I have had a couple of conversations. And what we were proposing to do is to have a list on the preservation website of those significant properties, as well as those homes that we have given preservation awards to, which have been, which are available for purchase. The way we would accomplish this would be purely voluntary. We would send initially a letter out to the owners of these particular properties, as well as to the members of the Oak Park Board of Realtors. It's an amalgam group that covers this area, indicating that. And the purpose really is to expand the base of purchasers. There are several publications which provide a national scope. However, that tends to have a great lead time of several months, and we'd like to be a bit more immediate. We have the resources available on the website, and I think it's something that would be a good proactive way of increasing our educational efforts. And I'm happy to listen to whatever thoughts, questions, comments you may have.
That letter would be separate from this.
Yes. Yeah.
So what would you say in the letter?
Effectively, on behalf of the Historic Preservation Commission of the Village of River Forest, we're offering you the opportunity, and I'm just going by off the top of my head, we're offering you the opportunity in the event that you intend to sell your property to have that listing noted on the Village's Historic Preservation website. It's a purely voluntary act, and we would ask for a contact number, whether it was you as an owner or a real estate agent who would have a listing on the property.
And so then on our website, we would have a separate section that just says current properties for sale?
Available for purchase. And what we would do, I'd also contact some people I've gotten to know at Landmarks Illinois and try to get them behind it. Typically, what Landmarks Illinois will do is they have their own separate listing. But in order to achieve that listing, it has to be, quote, unquote, endangered with the prospect of immediate demolition. So again, that's kind of playing defense after the horse is out of the barn.
Right.
We want to just get ahead of the process.
And that would cover the how many homes? Like the 200?
295.
Yeah. So the response rate might not be great in the beginning, but
just the ones that are for sale.
It's just the ones that are for
sale.
No,
but I'm saying you wouldn't be approaching the people that are on the list saying in the event that you list.
Yes, we would.
Okay.
Yeah. We would notify everyone just to let them know it's available as well as all the realtors.
All right. So it would
in the event they decide to sell their house.
Right.
Please
it's an option.
Reach out to us
right.
and let us know.
Okay.
It's an option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do the realtors have any comments about it?
I've talked to a couple and I haven't heard any concerns. Because basically what we're doing is we're just providing another outlet. We're not trying to interfere with their listing. We're not trying to jump ahead of the process. It's just if someone wants to do it, then this is just another local outcome. Anecdotally, we've heard with several of the properties we've lost and various people have sort of, you know, we've heard rumors of people who stepped forward to various either agents or people here in the village saying, gee, I wish I had known because I am looking for a smaller property to rehab and would have loved to have done this, particularly given the spirit that, you know, in that particular instance, a particular block had shown.
Yeah, David and I, as he mentioned, talked a little bit about this, and I just think it's a great idea to help, you know, the sellers of these wonderful, beautiful homes. And it kind of instill pride, if you will, in the homes that they've refurbished and remodeled, and celebrate them and help them sell it, give the seller more of that pride versus trying to legislate pride all the time. You know, and I think that's what we're always, you know, can we make it things stronger? And it really is, can the seller be more responsible of their home? And if they can, and we've talked about it, then we should help them because they've helped themselves, you know, make their home so beautiful. And I think this is just one really small way of helping the seller, augment their means of selling their home and hopefully catch somebody that's very interested in one of these beautiful homes. So
we hope to have a number of initiatives over the upcoming months to discuss in order to sort of just increase the awareness.
Right.
I think it's important to be proactive in the process rather than reactive.
That's correct.
Reactive really hasn't worked to this point.
Nope. Yep.
Is one of those the plaque process that we've been talking about.
Well, I think that's one
historic,
of them.
Right,
that's
yeah. I mean, that would be a great...
Sure.
I mean, there's so many
great
things.
Great way to recognize, you know, these
Well, it's a lot of things going on. So what Jan's doing with the plaque and what, you know, the historic commission is trying to do with the brochure and then offering the seller and just one more outlet of offering, you know, offering their home, you know, to hopefully some potential buyers. I think all of it combined are great proactive events.
And I'd also be remiss if I didn't shout out to Commissioner Popowitz, who's here, who has done several public presentations. He's also available on YouTube as your local YouTube star. so pitching in as we're all able.
Well, in fact, you started it off, Al, so by doing the video, and what a great video it was, you know, kind of getting us to think, how can we be more proactive? So thank you on behalf of the village. Okay, well, is there no further questions for Chairman Franek? I would say thank you, and
thank you.
Good luck. And hopefully we'll get some brochures when they're readily available.
Yes. Just briefly on the brochure item as well. You know, has been shared with you. It features 33 properties. It's also got a list of other properties by architect, which was important to group together and really show the collection of things in the village. And it also recognizes a list of the past winners of the Historic Preservation Commission's Historic Preservation Award, which is great to continue to recognize and honor those individuals who have shown a great deal of preservation efforts and investment in their properties. The brochure kind of came to be based on a couple others around the area. This one from Maywood, as you see, looks very similar if you've seen the one that we've kind of put together. And then as well, a little bit more in-depth one from the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust that came together. This is one that covers parts of Oak Park and River Forest, you know, and looks similar as well. So a couple of those ideas kind of sparked this one of our own. Obviously, goals of it is to continue preservation through education of these properties. I think the commission would agree that the 400-page preservation report is not the most accessible document of all time, and maybe not one that the average walker in the village or visitor would take around and see properties with, but that's the hope with this, is that for somebody just dipping their toes in the water of preservation or architecture, and also somebody that wants to learn more or maybe has walked by these properties for a long time without realizing something, provides just a little bit of history to kind of get you started and do some of those things.
We kind of look at the walking map, tour map, and it kind of is an appetizer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it does list sort of three properties close to that 295. And one of the other things that's also part of the survey is the architects that we commissioned had done, I think it's 60 or 70 page monograph about the history of the village and the architectural history of the village, as well as development in the area. So that's of particular interest. But again, that's for someone who is looking for a much more in-depth process. This is a real good start, of course.
Yeah.
So, to this point, the commission's gone through taking these pictures themselves, writing the descriptions themselves, putting this whole thing together before we had the help of a graphic designer to kind of put together what you're seeing here today. So, again, no action needed, but we're just looking for a little bit of consensus to go ahead, finalize these, and then print and distribute them and be able to provide them here at Village Hall and, you know, possibly some other outlets, We've talked about trying to circulate them with some of the other Frank Lloyd Wright efforts in the area and things like that, and get them in people's hands. It's very well, branded for the village and things like that is an item to continue historic preservation, interest in the village, things like that.
Mm-hmm. It looks great.
Yeah.
When you say distribute, how many mailings does the village do every year?
We do water bills every 2 months. Every 2 months.
How difficult would it be to get one of these in every one of the water bills?
I don't know, because what's the size? What's the...
Yeah, this is bigger than...
What, by 17?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, when it's all folded up, it's going to be about that size, right, with John's holding in his hand right now.
It's
so
pretty expensive.
It might be too thick now.
We could certainly promote it in the water bill.
Here's the actual size. You know,
pass that along. You can pass that along, because that's the actual cardstock.
Yeah.
So, what's the cost of printing these? I would imagine it's pretty expensive, just because of the color.
Yeah, we started to get some pricing on that.
We did get some pricing, kind of preliminary. Now that I have the final document, I would kind of circulate that to, so three, four printers for prices, and then we can get them printed. Couple grand.
Depends on how many orders.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So you touched on comment. We walk by these houses every day. We may or may not know what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
I like it.
And my esteemed colleagues at the table can disagree with me. If they choose, I think we should make every effort to get every mailing address a copy of one of these maps.
So you're suggesting maybe a mailing? Because it's an odd size, so it won't go.
It is an odd size. So I don't know what a mailing would cost for a bulk mail, for just every mailbox to get one. I don't know what the post office charges for that.
Maybe on one side, it'd just be like a bulk mail. You know what you're saying?
This is printed in real size. It's on... regular paper stock, because we were able to run it here in the office. But
I think what Mike is saying is, if you take one side and you do bulk, I don't know if they can, where they'll, and then one side would be just resident, you could bulk it. I don't know.
Bulk mail is hard because you spend a lot of money and time, and people a lot of times toss.
But you're
not necessarily, because the bulk mail goes by zip code, and we only have one.
No, I know, but I understand that. But you also have multifamily units, and they just drop that stuff at the floor of the entry.
Again, that
serves
the purpose that I have in mind, that shotgun approach of getting them out there.
You can advertise it in the water bill.
We could advertise it in the water bill.
It's going to be on the website.
Or do a postcard. And send a postcard to everyone, letting them know that this is available.
Or put it on the water bill, like you said.
Yeah, we could do both,
And you're going to have them at Village Hall and maybe at other locations around town.
Library, community center or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I just think that, for everybody in this room to be the only ones to know this is out there, it certainly doesn't do justice to the people that put all the effort into it. The other question I have is the award winners. How does someone get considered for that?
They nominate themselves, we review, and we vote typically in the late spring, early summer.
I would note, too, that oftentimes they're invited to nominate themselves by a commissioner.
Mm-hmm. And we don't feel the need to give out every award, or frankly any awards in any given year, in the event that we believe that the nominees, don't quite meet the threshold that we're looking for the individual awards. So it's fairly picky, in terms of what we're interested in doing. But we've had some great response to it. In fact, famously, one of our award winners requested that they keep their metal yard sign in perpetuity, which is fine. Nothing shows pride of ownership, pride of place, pride of work more than saying, "I want this," three-foot-by-four-foot village sign forever in my yard.
And if you drive by 3-4 Keystone, you'll still see
it
there.
Can we have them come to a board meeting? I know we put it in our communication, but maybe have them come to the board meeting.
Cheer them on.
The winners are recognized in an HPC meeting.
Yeah, we'd be happy to. Yeah. That's a great idea.
It's kind of nice to
take
pictures.
Usually the signs people want in front of the house from us say stop on them.
So, David, if you can, we'll make sure they get invited to the next A board meeting. And then as far as this brochure goes, it looks like everyone's in consensus.
Yes.
It looks good. Find a way to, disperse it out to as maximum as we can. I think that's what the board is saying.
If there's a Boy Scout looking to have a service project.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Distribution of these maps.
There you go.
Qualify.
There you go.
Cool.
Can I just ask, I understand there was one homeowner who requested not to be listed. Mm-hmm. Did he or she share why or what their concern was?
Yeah, they did. So, as a privacy issue and just maybe a general dissenting view on preservation is how I put it. But that happened, you know, actually right before these were put in the board packet. We got that call about 4 weeks after we sent that letter out. So I, at that time, hadn't had a chance to share it with the commission, but we kind of taken that under advisement. Like I said, we'll discuss with the commission, but I think the plan is just to remove that property from the map, probably.
Okay. That's why I would certainly recommend. We have a fairly gentle but firm and unequivocal statement that to remind people that's printed on the on the map. Mm-hmm. That in fact these are private homes, and we ask people to respect the privacy of the homeowners because they have in fact graciously allowed their properties to be shown.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a great response rate, though, if you only had one person that, you know, decided not to do that. So that's commendable. I have one question about historic and just our communication and signage of that. So around town, there's placards that say historic district. And I'm still confused as to if that's delineated somewhere or, you know, how can we actually improve that visibility or how were those created?
So one clarification that often comes up is the historic district versus the historically and architecturally significant list. So obviously many within the district are on that list, but not all of them. It's the most densely populated area. Certainly, I think the district is less clear. I think most homeowners on the significant list have a pretty good understanding of that by now. I wouldn't say all, but I'd say most. They've certainly got a lot of mail that's clear that they're part of that list, but you know, I still wouldn't say that all of them recognize it. As far as the district goes, like I said, it certainly gets less attention on the list.
The commission has been around now for give or take 10, 12 years, and the district predates the commission by a sizable number of years. One of the things we did early on with the commission is we had with your approval, commemorative markers placed at the various corners and various large intersections involved with the district. And there was some discussion at that time about the size and how do we do this so it's not a distraction. And I believe the way that they're denominated is there is the village stained glass, art glass logo appears on each of these. But we're certainly open to any suggestions.
I just don't know what, you know, is there like borders? So you drive by a sign that says historic district, but you don't really know.
Is there a map somewhere?
What that is.
There's
It's not
confined.
I believe it may be part of the survey.
It is?
I think Laurel would know.
It's part of certain village maps.
We should go back.
Can it be incorporated into this? Is it too late?
That's a good question. It could probably be.
You mean designated on the map?
Well, like if one little, like say the Avern, Edgewood area was all one, if we made those streets that color to,
ultimately
to designate.
There's one district, and surprise,
one
it's
district.
Got a few jocks here and
right.
there.
Yeah.
Unlike Old Park, they have like four or five.
Yes.
Yeah. We only have one.
We have one. And I think Laurel is the person that kind of.
The estate homes that was designated.
I think Mike's point is. Yeah, I
so
think how it got
if
there.
We
I guess
color coded the
matter,
numbers
but
of the
I think
corresponding
Mike's
houses to signify that historic district.
Right.
Would that work?
I just don't know if there's anything on paper.
There is.
That
he said he's got a map.
There's in on our website. If you click on the historic district, there's a view of
he says he has a map.
Historic district website. There's on the map.
Okay.
On the
website.
Nobody can probably see this.
So there it is.
We
can see it.
Yeah. See.
Well, there you go.
Historic district.
This is not the flood.
That's a big swath of the whole village.
That's it. I go historic district floodplain. It all looks the same.
So
I don't know. I'm always curious because I drive by the signs
sure.
and they're great, and it's a nice way to highlight it. But I don't really know what the parameters of the district is. So now I can go on.
Okay.
That's exactly what we don't want to say.
I think it's
historic district has the floodplain.
Yes, it was probably
just a map right next to the river.
It was probably an outgrowth of some early concerns about how can we memorialize some of the significant properties here before there was a commission, before there was an ordinance. And since then, I think we've done things which perhaps are a bit more user-friendly than this lovely multiple-armed district. But
yeah, so, I mean, one idea would be to highlight those homes that are in the historic district. Another option might be to just overlay the outline of the district on the map itself.
That's probably a better idea.
Yeah, a different color or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just off the top of my head, I would kind of endorse the overlay simply because one of the things the map does is there are designations for various homes based upon the architect by color. In turn, and exactly. We don't want to get it even more complicated than it is.
Okay, so overlay it might be.
Great idea, though.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, sounds great. So thanks.
I love it. Love
any
it.
Other?
Yeah, one other thing too that the commission is working on, and kind of in the spirit of our communication policy, use of social media, things of that nature. When we talked about those homes that received the awards. We're working with a local videographer that's producing some short videos, vignettes, if you will, 3-4 minutes in length, that highlight those award winners that we'll put on a YouTube channel, put on our Facebook page and stuff like that, so that it's another way to highlight, preserve, and educate people regarding these properties in town.
And thanks for mentioning that, Eric. And in fact, the two homes have some pretty dramatic before and after the photographs. Cool. I mean, they really are significant distinctions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a great idea. It really, I think, is going to turn out well. Those properties are very visually pleasing.
It's awesome.
It should be great.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're doing a lot of things. Thank you. Yeah. Map, the video, the brochure.
The plaques.
So,
okay.
Thank you. It's great to have you guys come and give us the update.
Yeah, we'd love
appreciate
to.
Appreciate it.
We'd love to.
Okay. All right.
It was the block party, though.
Right.
Okay.
Well, kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
Move forward.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. All right. Very good. So up next is we do have a recommendation for a commission appointment. This is for the Zoning Board of Appeals. Chuck Lucchese. Decided after 15 years on the zoning board to not be reappointed. So I went into the application, and Michael Smentana, who you see his resume, who lives on the south end of River Forest, is the gentleman that I am recommending. I had a good conversation with him over the phone. He's excited to be part of the zoning board. And so my recommendation, like I said, his resume is on the in the packet, and I think it's pretty robust, and I think it's going to fit very well with the zoning board, and maybe eventually with the development review board as we, you know, rotate people in and out. So that's my recommendation, and if I can get a motion to approve the recommendation of mine.
I concur with the recommendation of President Ducey to appoint Michael Smentana to the zoning board of appeals for 5-year term, expiring April 30th, 2023.
Okay,
I'll second that.
Thank you. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer it. I did invite him, but he could not make it tonight. But, you know, feel free to give him a call as well. I mean, he's pretty open. But he's also kind of a neighbor of David Crosby, so he's knows David as well. Okay. Hearing no questions, then I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Motion passes. That's a good point. So up next, thank you, is the our unfinished business.
I'll make a motion to pass an ordinance amending Title IX of the Village Code regarding parking fees.
Second.
Okay. So, Jim.
I see you back there.
I mean, If Jim and I had a conversation this afternoon, right, regarding parking fees. So if there's anything you want to jump in, feel free. But we'll go ahead and start the conversation about, as I was mentioning to you, Jim said he did some analysis of the parking. And I said, interesting enough that you did analysis. So have we, and we agree with you that, you know, we need to make it a bit more efficient.
And this is what this is tonight. So it'll be, I'll call on you, Jim, if you want to. But for now, I'm going to ask Eric to go through where we're at, where we've been, and, you know, the recommendation.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So the last meeting, we had a discussion regarding two considerations regarding parking. And then when we speak about parking, we're talking about the daily commuter spaces, the monthly metro commuter permit parking for residents, and then overnight parking spaces and 24-hour parking spaces. And obviously, the last three are all related to residents only. And so the plan that was put forth essentially provided more 24-hour and overnight parking in the main lot by the depot, took the lot to the west of there, the West Thatcher lot, converted that to monthly permits as well, and then relied on the existing inventory of spaces on Central and Hawthorne for daily spaces. So that is the crux, the high level of the parking changes in terms of the allocation of who will park where. In terms of the fees, you would ask me to go back and take a look at the fees that we were proposing and what they would ultimately look like. And so on the second page of the memorandum that I had put together dated June 7th, there basically is a three-year phase-in of fees for all three levels: daily fee, monthly commuter, overnight, and 24-hour. So if this is something you would concur with tonight, the ordinance that is attached considers all these and puts these in place. So what would happen then is automatically on those dates outlined in the ordinance, those fees at what the rates that they are set at would take effect at that time. So by the end of, by 5/1 of 2020, the daily fee for parking, a daily fee parking would go from $3 to $5. For monthly commuter, it would go, and that's $3, 7/1/18, $4, 5/1/19, and $5, 5/1/20. Monthly commuter would go from to $45 on 7/1 of this year, $50 on May 1st of 19, and then $55 May 1st of 20. Same thing for overnight would be stepped $55, $60, and $65, and then 24-hour $100, $110, and $120. Happy to answer any questions.
I have a question. It seems like in the past they were increased on the one-time shot, and it looks like we're phasing it in this time. And I'm just wondering if you can talk a little more why that's the case this time.
And so fees are one of those things at times where we take a look at it, and then we forget about it for a couple years and then revisit it. So the last time we've looked at this, I believe, was 2014, so it's been about 4 years. So it seems as though some of our neighbors make increases on an annual basis. So it was just a different methodology we thought we would take into, instead of just going and pushing forward fees and letting them sit there, we would provide some incremental changes to them and increases over time, as opposed to at one time and kind of shock the system, so to speak.
Okay. I guess I'm only looking at right now is the daily fee, and based on the research that you've done, Forest Park is already at $5.
Correct.
So we're already behind the ball. So why should we wait 2 years for that? I'm thinking the same thing with the monthly commuter. We're 55 right in between Forest Park and Oak Park. So I'm not sure why that wouldn't be given at one shot or increase at one shot. And then maybe the overnight 24, since it looks like what we're recommending is going to be even higher than our neighboring villages, maybe that would be phased in. But that would be my suggestion, that the daily fee and the monthly commuter fee be increased at one time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a very good question. I mean, I've kind of thought the same way, you know. Yeah. I would say probably all of them, maybe with the exception of 24-hour.
I don't know what everybody else thinks.
Yeah. Are the other neighboring towns, though, are they selling permits on streets like we're talking here on Hawthorne? Or are they in surface lots that are dedicated for parking?
That I can't speak to. I know I believe the Forest Park one's a lot, correct? They're for the blue line?
Probably the whole lots.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking is, you know, when a car's not in it, cars are driving on it, it's still the property of the citizens, just like a lot. But a lot serves a single purpose, that it's just a lot. And if the majority of the people parking in these spots are residents of River Forest that are already paying what I'm sure they would say is really high property taxes, now we're going to pay them. Now we're going to make them pay to park on their own streets. I would consider that versus a lot that, you know, there's different maintenance issues with a lot. There's lighting issues with lots. And these are street spots that throughout the rest of the town, you know, you can park in front of your house. You know, we're not making people pay for it. But from the incremental thing, there's some advantages and disadvantages to ripping the Band-Aid off. But there's also advantages and disadvantages to, you know, the incremental thing. And I'm okay with it because, honestly, we've all been here a while. In 2 years, it'll be at the rate that we want it to be, if that's the long run. Mm-hmm. But it may or may not ruffle the feathers so much as to do it all at once.
So, Mike, I mean, you bring up an interesting point, and this is something I've talked to residents about, including Jim. I mean, the problem with daily fees on our resident streets the main parkers are not River Forest residents.
They're, That's what I was curious about.
Mostly, residents surrounding our community. Now, monthly is probably different. Monthly is probably all River Forest.
Well, if the bulk of the people that are parking on Hawthorne.
That's a parking
lot. Not residents.
Right.
Then I would, you know, tend to agree with Rhett.
So that's interesting. So that was what I said to him. I said, why don't we just go right to the five? Because it would be, you know, hopefully, you know, no ding on our residents. But, you know, yeah, the monthly and the overnight 24 are all residents. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. So, okay. Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with your.
But that's the, maybe you guys know, but, is the bulk of the people parking at Hawthorne non-residents?
Yeah.
I can't speak to Hawthorne specifically, but the daily, I would say last time we looked at it, it was around 50-50 to maybe 60-40, depending on how things shake out. But, yeah, at a minimum, it would say it's probably half residents, half non-residents. And that's
all.
And
the way we're reworking the two lots, aren't we favoring residents even more now with the formula?
Yes, because they would more monthly commuter spaces would be.
So again, that would push the non-residents over to Hawthorne.
Right.
And it's not legal to give two different costs, right?
I wouldn't recommend that.
I wouldn't recommend that. That's not a very nice thing. Then.
No, that's not where I'm, you know, I'm not. I had that discussion with Eric before, but.
No, it's definitely the daily fee is definitely the bigger issue for us if I was a resident.
And the one thing I will point out, though, too, because we have the two, at the time, you had the Hawthorne lot was daily, and that was a parking lot. And that was paid for the improvements to that lot for the paver bricks. That was all paid for out of the parking fund, so it wasn't general fund money. So we have a separate reserve within the capital improvement fund where a portion of the parking fees go in there. And then when we redid, we did some resurfacing work, the parking spaces over by Keystone there, and those daily spaces, those were resurfaced as well. And we took the money that was attributable just to that section and paid for that out of the parking fund.
I'm good.
Okay. Just like, you had mentioned about it not being a traditional lot, but we do try to separate as much as possible.
Right.
And so this is kind of a continuation of your thought and pay for that out of that fund.
And I just want to remind everybody, I mean, other than really monthly commuter, I think the logic could prevail on what you're saying, Mike, because overnight and 24 hour really are using our, is their garage.
Right.
I mean, they're getting a bargain. So in an odd way, you could almost say daily fee overnight and 24 hours should be automatically up. But, I mean, but they're still residents and we ought to, you know, ease them in. That's why I think monthly, overnight, 24 hours should be eased in. But, I mean, they are using our parking lot as their garage.
Well, part of the discussion last time when we were talking about the 24-hour overnight, it also doesn't do us any good to be
detrimental to the apartment stock in town. If we can help people put people in apartments versus having empty apartments, that does a better service than having, you know, empty parking spots. So, anyway.
Yeah, I would say the daily fee, I'm not sure it helps us to phase that one in. I agree with the three, you know, other fees, maybe gradually increasing them, because you're talking about a significant percentage increase for all of these. I wouldn't be against the daily fee just getting bumped up at once.
A question, okay. The daily parkers don't do anything in advance. Would they come, they pay, they leave?
Correct. Either with the pay box or the...
So there's no waiting list or anything for daily? We don't know.
There is a waiting list for the monthly commuters.
Right. Okay.
Is the, well, that's not to say that there isn't a resident that would like to go to the daily and can't find a spot.
I'm curious how that will fall out when we raise the prices and see if, you know, we continue to have the same amount of people on daily. So it was kind of...
It actually happened. But the other day that my daughter went downtown to park, and the park district must have had a meeting by Keystone, so all of the daily spots were taken for like a very short period of time, and there was no place for a commuter to
park. Along Hawthorne?
Along all the way down. Central.
Oh.
So that was an interesting anomaly. I don't know if it is an anomaly, but that parking is being used
by... What time
is it? It was 9 o'clock in the morning. So that's being used by... Park District, right, or whoever's intending. I don't know if they are.
Okay.
I don't know if they're. I don't know if they're. Yeah, if they're just going to go there and park. If you're just using the park, are you paying the daily commuter fee? I don't know if you are. So
Hawthorne's never full. I mean, the whole south.
Well, Hawthorne was full that day, and all along Central was full. So something was going on. There was some meeting or something at the.
Could be a program.
Park District, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, because you have people using the park district that are parking in the daily spots that are probably not...
Well, they could probably park there so long as they...
But they're probably not paying the fee. I don't know that for sure, but that would be interesting to find out.
And the fee is... Do we continue to have the fee put in a little slot at the corner?
Yeah.
Well, you have two options. You can do the passport, which is online.
Okay, yeah.
And that's another question I have, because when you're driving down Central, the passport sign... For the section is facing west, so can we put two signs back to back so that if you're just walking down Central to catch the train going up the stairs, you don't have to go around the corner to take a look at the directions and what section you're on and all that good stuff.
Is it time to eliminate the box?
Yeah, how are you going to put $5 worth of coins in there?
Yeah,
we do have an app.
I mean, that's what Oak Park seems
to do. Oh, just do the app.
You could do that. You know, we had also looked at one time a while back at looking at pay stations, but the problem is, for what we do, there really isn't. It's a lot of money and investment to buy the machine, then maintain it, and all of those other things.
How many people actually still use the coins?
So,
city does it.
What was the question?
So, 50 bucks a day. I asked how many people actually still use the coin box.
Oh, well, you know, let them decide that. I mean, we're not going to get into their business. So I think so it sounds like everyone is consensus about going directly to a $5 fee.
Correct.
Right, as I hear it. And then gradually moving the monthly, overnight, and 24-hour parking.
Okay. So, just for the record then, the ordinance that's presented tonight, when we get to the second page, when we talk to daily parking zones, that section 9225 will be amended from $2.50 to $5 per day, effective July 1st. And that's that last sentence, the fee shall increase to 4 and 5, that'll be stricken.
Is it okay for, who moved it? Mike, you moved it?
So moved.
And second?
Second, okay. Yes.
Okay, no further comment. Will the clerk please take the vote?
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So I think that ends our regular scheduled meeting, so we'll need to go into executive session. So if we can adjourn to executive session.
Yeah, move to adjourn to, oh, go ahead. You have to read the, you want to read the whole.
But I do want them to come up. So we have to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of, if you can say that.
For the purpose of the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of certain employees of the village and collective negotiating matters between the village and its employees or its representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
And we're going to add, and setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay, then we need a roll call, right?
All right, 35. Trustee Corsini, here. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here.
So motion adjourned.
Anything on that part?
Second.
All right.
All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
All right, good meeting.